owned and operated by the University of Texas at Austin. KBX broadcasts at 91.7 Saturday and Sunday. We are run solely by UT students, and the views expressed at KBX aren't necessarily the views of UT or KBRX. And now, another broadcasting day of KBRX.
Están escuchando a KBRX 91.7 Radio Caracol. Esta noche tenemos unos compañeros y compañeras que vinieron desde lugares lejanos para hablar con nosotros. Están aquí para una conferencia, un encuentro sobre lo que es organizar para luchadores sociales que están en la academia. Y vamos a hablar sobre ciertos temas, ¿no? La vamos a hacer abierto. Podemos usar el español en inglés, pero esta parte del programa de Radio Caracol es siempre en español. A la media hora cambiamos al inglés. Bueno, antes que eso, quiero a ver si los compañeros y la compañera se pueden presentar a la audiencia que nos escucha en muchos lugares, no nomás en Austin, pero en muchos lugares lejanos. ¿Quieres empezar, Jordan?
Mi nombre es Jordan. Yo soy un estudiante en la Universidad de California en Santa Barbara. También yo parte de un grupo, Acción Zapatista de Santa Bárbara, y también parte de Zapacalifas.
Mi nombre es Sirena, soy profesora asociada de Estudios Latinoamericanos en la Universidad del Estado de California, Northridge. También trabajo con mi trabajo como organizadora es en el Eastside Café, en el noreste de Los Ángeles, en El Sereno. Es un espacio autónomo inspirado por los zapatistas. También trabajo con el colectivo de los pueblos autónomos.
Soy Juan Berumen, estudiante, amigo, maestro, compañero. Ahorita estoy en la Universidad de Indiana, en Bloomington.
Buenas noches, me llamo Rubén Mendoza, soy artista y escritor y también estudiante. En la Universidad de California, la Universidad de Northridge del estado, en el departamento de estudios chicanos.
Y bueno, todos los compañeros y la compañera vinieron de universidades, pero también trabajan en lo que son movimientos sociales o han trabajado con muchas organizaciones, colectivos que por mucha parte tienen el papel del movimiento social, de la lucha social. Y aquí estamos esta noche en Radio Caracol 91.7, que también nos pueden escuchar en el www.kbrx.org. Y queremos platicar sobre uno de los temas que nosotros, este día en particular, teníamos un taller donde usamos las voces de compañeros y compañeras que participaron en unos movimientos sociales, pero particularmente en el movimiento que se tuvo en octubre, el 19 de octubre en Tijuana, México, Baja California, de platicar sobre lo que son las experiencias en este lado, que se refiere en México como el otro lado, y lo que estaban discutiendo y lo que se necesita que discutir para crear un nuevo movimiento, una nueva sociedad de abajo y a la izquierda, que dice la otra campaña. Y bueno, si ustedes quieren, pueden comentar sobre esto. Sirena, ¿quieres comentar sobre esto?
Sí, sobre el encuentro del octubre 19.
Bueno, del tema que nosotros vamos a platicar.
Sí, el tema es el encuentro como medio de generar conocimientos y saberes. Es una manera horizontal y no jerárquica, a donde la gente se reúne para compartir sus experiencias de lucha, sus trabajos organizativos como luchadores sociales, y genera una política de la escucha y también una política de compartir. Y en ese momento, en el octubre 19 en Tijuana, tuvimos la oportunidad de escuchar a compañeros y compañeras de este lado, como dijo Pablo, mexicanos, mexicanas y chicanos y chicanas, participando de la otra campaña, y entonces fue como hacer un puente a través de la frontera, por encima de la frontera.
Y bueno, vamos a escuchar un poquito sobre este... Rubén, ¿quieres platicar un poquito sobre lo... vamos a poner sobre el radio una de estas... de las narrativas que pasó de entrevistas, pero ¿quieres introducirlo?
Sí, bueno, cuando estuve en el encuentro en Tijuana, siempre tengo una grabadora digital y un micrófono que llevo conmigo para agarrar sonidos, ambientes, y también para hablar con gente, hacer entrevistas. Entonces, cuando estuve ahí, grabé cuando la gente subió a dar su palabra, pero también después de todo eso y después de que habló Marcos, el subcomandante Marcos, hice unas entrevistas con diferentes personas que estuvieron ahí. Entonces, después de eso, con las entrevistas hice esta que se llama audio collage.
Y lo que vamos a hacer es escuchar un poquito sobre eso. Vamos a tocarlo ahorita. Hemos regresado a Radio Caracol 91.7 KBRX. Y como dije empezando del programa, tenemos a compañeros y una compañera desde Los Ángeles, Santa Bárbara y Indiana. Bueno, eres de San Pancho, ¿no? Eres de San Francisco. Y también también aquí en la cabina está Emiliana, que acaba de llegar hace un ratito. Ay, perdón. Y bueno, estábamos hablando sobre el concepto, el concepto político, que es el encuentro zapatista o el encuentro de abajo y de la izquierda. Y estábamos oyendo un poquito sobre eso. ¿Quieren ustedes hacer un comentario antes que toquemos un poquito más sobre lo que oímos? Sí, pues estamos aquí en el radio, pónganse ustedes a hablar. Joren, ¿quieres hacer un comentario?
Sobre encuentro, yo creo encuentro en Tijuana y también en otros espacios, un espacio para sueños, un espacio para autonomía. En el caso Tijuana, un espacio para dialógico, imaginario, otro mundo, ¿no? Y Marcos se dice un espacio destruir una línea de muerte y también creando una forma de vida con digna, ¿no? Yo creo de encuentros es sobre ¿no? Es sobre la lucha para dignidad, ¿no?
Y también tiene una trayectoria no histórica en términos de lo que es los movimientos sociales en Latinoamérica y en otros lugares, ¿no? Juan, tú que sabes un poco más de lo que es la educación popular también sobre este tipo de encuentro, ¿quieres dar un comentario?
Sí, bueno, primeramente yo no fui a Tijuana, pero la cosa es que yo creo que el mensaje se amplificó bastante en bastantes lugares, especialmente porque se necesita, ¿no? Se necesita esos tipos de encuentros y en estudiando educación popular, donde es un esfuerzo para imaginar ese mundo que Marcos y ahorita el compañero Jordan acaba de explicar que se necesita, ¿no? Es tomar el control del proceso educativo del estado o de procesos que no hablan por la comunidad o por identidades diferentes o perspectivas diferentes. Y en América Latina, donde se practica bastante también la educación popular, se encuentra ese mensaje, ¿no?
Y Rubén, tú que hiciste las entrevistas, ¿no? ¿Quieres platicar sobre un poquito, no necesariamente sobre el encuentro, pero en qué fue en términos de ser el proyecto que de las diferentes entrevistas en el proyecto de ser este audio que estamos escuchando?
Bueno, un tema importante de estos encuentros es de los las políticas de escuchar, ¿no? Entonces yo quería perdón, en todo ese día el delegado Cero nomás se sentó arriba y escuchó por horas y horas y mientras que la gente subió a dar su palabra. Y bueno, después de eso él habló un poquito de lo que había escuchado, no dio análisis sino nomás habló de lo que había escuchado. Entonces yo quería hacer entrevistas como una forma de escuchar y ver también cómo la gente se construye su identidad con las narrativas que construye de su experiencia.
Y en eso vamos a tocar un poquito más de lo que son los el audio y vamos a parar con la entrevista que se acabe nomás de Sirena, y luego después a ver si Sirena quiere hacer un comentario sobre eso, y luego vamos a concluir con nuestra segunda parte del Radio Caracol 91.7 FM, que es la parte en inglés, que ya sé que muchos de ustedes a lo mejor porque nosotros con nuestros pochismos, ¿no?, podemos participar un poco más, y bueno, ahí le hacemos la lucha.
He also said that the Mexican nation doesn't start in Tijuana, it doesn't start in San Diego, it doesn't start in Chicago, it starts down, abajo y a la izquierda, below, people who are working class, grassroots, people, those that's how Mexico gets started, initiates, and then he said something very important, because it has been a real debate among us for grassroots organization, is who belongs to this encuentro, which is convoking Mexicans, and who belongs to the Intergaláctico, which is the international struggle. We claim, the Autonomous Peoples Collective claim, that everybody who's living in the occupied Mexico belongs to the struggle of Mexico.
Y bueno, ahí escuchamos a Sirena que estaba platicando sobre el encuentro en 19 de octubre. Sirena, ¿quieres comentar un poco de tus palabras?
Sí, lo que estaba comentando en esa entrevista es algo que habíamos comentado bastante entre nosotros, varios grupos colectivos inspirados por los zapatistas en Los Ángeles, acerca de cuando estuvo la convocatoria de la sexta declaración de la Selva Lacandona, que apareció en junio del 2005 para hacer un plan de lucha nacional en México. Nosotros empezamos a cuestionarnos, nosotros que estamos de este lado, ¿no?, chicanos, chicanas, pero inclusive, bueno, particularmente yo soy de la Argentina, aunque me considero también chicana, pero gente de este lado, si también participábamos o no participábamos en ese plan de lucha nacional. Y nosotros llegamos a la conclusión, después de mucho debate, de que sí, que lo que está ocurriendo de este lado, que es un territorio ocupado, evidentemente, es algo que compete también a lo que ocurre nacionalmente en México. O sea que nuestra lucha es una lucha pluricultural, ¿no?, y plurietnica. Lo que nos ocurre a nosotros como chicanos, chicanas y latinoamericanas, salvadoreños, otros, gente que ha venido de Latinoamérica, también le ocurre a personas de origen asiático-americano, en nativos americanos, afroamericanos, inclusive muchas personas blancas. O sea que es una lucha pluriétnica y eso es lo que tiene de característica la otra campaña en este lado, ¿no?, de la frontera.
Y vamos a seguir con esa discusión en inglés, nomás que regresemos a Radio Caracol 91.7 KBRX. Hemos regresado a 91.7 KBRX. We are now in the English portion of the show, and I know now that we've been listening to a couple of audio clips, and for those who are listening in English now, we've been listening for the last half an hour to some audio clips that Ruben had collected on the October 19th visit of Subcomandante Marcos Delegado Cero to Tijuana, Baja California, meeting with people from not only Baja California in terms of Tijuana, but also from this side of the border, from the United States, Chicanos, Chicanas, other people of color, just anybody who has, who believes in a movement from the left and below, who's anti-capitalist, anti-political party in a sense, and has radical politics. And so we've been talking about the concept of encuentro, encounter, even though there's not a really kind of a good translation of encuentro. In English we use encounter to discuss different types of politics, and these audio clips very much were telling them that. And so what we wanted to do was continue this discussion, maybe on certain points. We brought up, for instance, the point of politics of listening, in terms of what the political project of La Otra Campaña, the other campaign, is, but also in terms of the encuentro in Tijuana being an encuentro of many encuentros. That means that many encuentros led up to the encuentro. So why don't we begin with that, especially since we have some experts in popular education, insurrection, we have critical theorists, we have, and more than anything, we have social organizers, people with social consciousness and so forth, and radical politics. So now that we have a chance to do that, why don't we talk? Jordan, you want to mention anything?
Well, no, I'm glad that you put the Tijuana Encuentro in terms of an encuentro of encuentros, right? Because a lot of the organizing in California that's not unrelated to the work that people in this room have been doing made that possible, right? And there were encuentros in Los Angeles and Oakland and Oxnard, California, right? And we were talking about this at the break. This is also a strategy that the groups have used for many years before the Zapatistas, made it more available or more popularized after 96 with the Intergalactic, where, 3,000 activists came to Chiapas to discuss alternatives to neoliberalism. But what I want to say was, maybe in terms of thinking of encuentro or encounters as producing a different kind of trajectory, and that is to think of it as the way that we've been utilizing it, the way that it's been deployed, as an alternative to capital and state forms, alternatives to political parties and to unions. And that is to say, we're not looking up above to power anymore and asking for recognition from power, but to creating new kinds of subjects, new kinds of subjectivities based on affinities. And we don't see ourselves as the only affinity. There's obviously multiple ones. But I think the encounter in that sense then is a entanglement, if you will, of the past, of the present, but also trying to collectively imagine a future. But not just one future, right? Un mundo que quepan muchos mundos, a world where many worlds fits.
And why don't you expand on that, a world where many worlds fit, since it's, anybody can chime in on this, in terms of what does that actually mean in terms of the concept of encuentro, especially when it comes to organizing, as Sirena was saying in Spanish, in terms of pluriethnic organizing, cross-cultural organizing, and building alliances with people that are building this common language through encuentro, that people that want to see a change, change the world in a sense without, how many of our colleagues have mentioned, change the world without taking power in a sense. So anybody can feel free to mention on these.
I like to use the metaphor that El Subcomandante Marcos used actually in the plenary sessions when they met in August and September of 05. He showed an embroidery done by Ramona, Comandante Ramona, who was very sick at that time. But and she was a Tzotzil indigenous woman who was the one who led the taking of San Cristóbal de las Casas on January 1st, 1994. But she also did embroidery, and she gave the Comisión Sexta this beautiful embroidery full of different shapes and different colors. And she said, I want La Otra Campaña to be like this, this beautiful embroidery. And what she was saying was that exactly that, to create a space where many different different points of view and different identities came together to create this beautiful new thing that we are all creating. So that, in a way, is how I see the creation of a world where many worlds fit, where there is a diversity of voices that are horizontal, that are not not homogeneous, that each one has its beauty, its colors, its shapes, and they all make like a beautiful orchestra. So that's more or less what I see as an encuentro.
Ruben, you want to add anything to this in terms of, especially since, again, the audio clips that you're mentioning are put in place by you, in a sense?
Well, as we were talking earlier in the conference, one thing that really stood out to me at the encuentro with regard to this topic is just the idea of, for me, the idea of creating a world where many worlds fit has a lot to do in part with creating a situation or a space where people feel comfortable to be whoever it is that they want to be in that moment and in that space. And if they want to change, they can do that as well. And so, the direct opposite of that is a kind of, this kind of control, this power that regulates who we are. And if we step outside of that of what it expects from us or asks from us, if we try to do anything different, then we are immediately policed, and we are not allowed to be whoever we want to be, or to tell the stories that we want to tell in the way that we want to tell them.
And so we're going to take a brief break again for a little bit of music, and then before we do that, we're going to make a public service announcement for KVRX, and then we're going to move on to similar discussion on this concept of encuentro.
This portion of KVRX programming.
This is 91.7 KVRX, Radio Caracol, every Thursday. You can also listen in at www.kvrx.org. And if you have one of those online programs, you can even record it and listen it. It's kind of like an online TiVo.
Nice.
To listen to revolutionary stuff. So we've been talking today with folks here and who are here visiting and are part of the Abriendo Brecha conference. And there's, a sense that the Abriendo Brecha conference is trying to deal with issues of activism, organizing. It was even mentioned that it's a kind of encuentro in a sense, which, why don't we problematize that? Why don't we problematize and right now, just talk about, this kind of appropriation, because that's exactly what encuentro isn't, right? In a sense, an appropriation where it's bounded. It's for instance, the concept of many worlds, a world where many worlds fit, doesn't mean that all these many worlds are bounded. If not, it creates so many different spaces for these worlds to fit, right? And so we want to talk about that. So why don't we problematize a little bit, try to do that?
But can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say that I appreciate the effort to have a discussion about, relationships to political struggles by scholars. But at the same time, I think that an encuentro can't be conceived as a radical academic conference, as a rally, some kind of space where we can get together and articulate scientific knowledges in order to, contribute to people's struggles, because an encuentro has its own knowledges, its own practices, its own know-hows, its own tools, its own concepts, because we're rejecting the idea of a scientific theoretical discourse, right? And we're saying that the people themselves already know how the world operates and have unique optics on how power operates, right? So for those of us that see encuentros as mechanisms for the struggle for self-determination and autonomy, realize that a self-determining society must be just that, self-determining. So in that sense, I don't think the idea of activist research still privileges the researcher, right? Whereas Encuentro recognizes the multiplicity of different intellectuals coming to a space. Intellectuals are obviously not just academics, right? We have intellectuals that know about their worlds and can speak about that. Let me say one thing that I think might distinguish it, and then I'll pass it along to other folks, is that we think that the movement of the encounter or the movement of an encuentro is to effort to produce new forms of life so that life may no longer be naked or bare, right? An academic conference is an academic conference. Well, let's have an analytical distinction. Though, I don't want to be disingenuous, but we're talking about a militant research in order to produce new subjects, not to produce new books, although that can be conceived of as a part of struggle, but it has to be conceived of as a commitment to struggle, to new forms of life.
And it would seem that one of the arguments is that only people within academia can do this type of research and therefore have the tools for this research. And I know that if we go around right now and speak to that, then we'd probably come to a consensus that that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. That's far from the truth, in a sense that research is not solely confined to, for instance, here at the tower or any other tower that we find in different universities, the Campanile and Cal, all the way to the UT Tower.
So
we definitely want to mention that research in that sense can be done by anybody, but that community members in wherever you find yourself do research all the time and research the issues concerning their communities. And this type of research is as much an effort at Encuentro, because one then discusses all these different kind of projects that need to be worked at in a community. For instance, gentrification and people organizing, having town hall meetings about gentrification, which is such a huge issue here in Austin, in East Austin and South Austin, in terms of how people are seeing their community change. That's a form of research as well, and seeing how community has changed. Anybody want to mention, we have about 10 more minutes, and definitely we want to talk about this issue, because you mentioned it, and since we are very much graduate students here at the University of Texas, at least I am and Emiliana is, but you guys all have a professor and different perspectives on this. And so in discussing this concept, and problematizing its appropriation, we want to discuss this in further detail and make sure that we discuss this in greater detail, and what are we committed towards then constructing, building?
Well, for me, it's almost like an internal struggle, right? I totally agree with you, Jordan. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. I guess what fuels me, because graduate school is it's a difficult life, and it's, one we really can't complain because we chose it, right? It's not like it's forced upon us. So one perspective, one way I like to look at it is that there's different fronts, I think there's, and what I mean by fronts is it's like a chess game, right? You have different, each chess piece has different roles and different purposes, and each one is just as valuable as the next, and they all, it all depends on how you use. And to quote Denzel Washington, Denzel Washington, right, in Training Day, this isn't checkers, it's chess, right? Right. Do I disagree with do I wish that there were more community members, more community researchers, more youth at this conference? Definitely. From someone who left the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, to go to Indiana, which it's not the most conducive environments for different thoughts, right? Where different worlds can exist, where you're pretty much being domesticated to be a certain way, to be part of the institution, to take your place in the ivory towers, right? To come to a conference like this, it was inspirational, it wasn't perfect, no doubt, but it definitely gave, re-energized my batteries, I guess, to go back to the snow of Indiana and to then, struggle on, but not necessarily struggle, but create, you know, because I'm tired of struggling, you know, I'm tired of resisting. I want to create now. I want to understand what my role is, and definitely, I mean, our role is a little different than everybody else's, and everybody has to choose their own path. But I'm not advocating for one or the other. You feel me? But
that's interesting that you talk about the chess game, because I want to, not that it's the same way that you're discussing the chess game, but I want to use, for instance, Marcus's story about the chess game and the way that academics play this chess game, in a sense. Here in academia, we play the chess as if no one knows the rules of engagement.
Right.
No one knows what each piece value is. And Marcus made this story that was shared to him in terms of an intense chess game between two people that seem to strategize over every move for hours at a time, it seemed like. When along comes an indigenous man who kind of sees this game and sees it and asks, well, you know, how do you play? And the people playing the chess game say, this is too much for you to understand.
Right.
This is too complex for you to understand. Mm. This game has too many rules. Mm. Well, how do you know where to move? And then they again respond, this is too much, this is too much. He leaves the chess game, returns back with a dirty, muddy boot, throws it on the table, and says, checkmate. Right? And so we find that funny, but at the same time, it's very telling that in any game that's created in the imaginaries of intellectual jargon and science and all these different things, that the basic level of that life is a complex thing, and that living life and understanding is much learned process as well, so that no game is too complex when you're living it, right? Mm.
Right. And actually, I mean, only because we're on the topic, you know, I actually was beaten in chess in three moves by an indigenous man in Chiapas, so twice, you know what I mean? For him or for her to throw her boot at the chess table and say checkmate, I mean, that's a pretty profound statement, basically saying, you know what, forget your game, you know, I'm creating my own, you know, my own rules. And I think once we get to the position where we have that, and when I say we, I don't just mean academics, but I mean we as a collective whole, whoever that we is, I mean, once we get to that point of leverage where we can throw that boot, and I think that's what I'm trying to get to, you know. And if my role is as an academic, then it is, you know. I mean, we all can't just charge the front line, you know. I think we all have capabilities, right? And we have to maximize them too.
No, well, what we want to do is that we only have about 5 more minutes, and I know that you were, sorry to stop you at midpoint, but what we want to do is give some closing remarks.
Right.
You know, 30 seconds for each one of you, just that you wanted to mention in terms of being here in Austin, some of you for the first time, some of you for the second or third time, and so forth, and just your impressions, thoughts that you might gather of today's events here at the Abriendo Brecha Conference here in UT Austin. And we're going to end our show for this Thursday. And, of course, you can find us on every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Here Central. And you can find us on 91.7 KVRX, www.kvrx.org. So, Jordan, why don't you send us off, and then everybody can send us off with a comment.
You just asked me to do a lot in 30 seconds, Pablo, but I just want to say that it's a pleasure to be in Austin. I have to say that in terms of the political life, what I've learned has been a lot from comrades here. So, big ups to the folks here that have been doing work for a long time. You're making an impact in California, and a new generation of folks are coming up because of the kinds of spaces and commitment that you've done. I wanted to say the second thing is my critique of Abriendo Brecha in terms of activist scholarship is about scientific knowledge. It's about the intellectual's relationship to power. It's about transforming the idea that some people are mere receivers of knowledge while others are producers of knowledge. So it's a space for debate, and this is what I think scholarship's got to be about. It's not to attack anyone in particular, but it's to, you know, push the debate. Can we have a discussion about this, right? So, and the last thing I'll say is I appreciate having this opportunity to build with Pablo and to learn from you all about what the movement of the encounter has mean and what it can be, because I think ultimately it's not just a struggle externally, it's a struggle about what we've become. It's a struggle about breaking the fear and about creating a new form of life that's not bare.
Sirena, you might just want to leave.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here too, and I will take the opportunity to make an announcement. I know that Ruben also has one. The first part of La Otra Campaña ended in the border states of Mexico, which was this crisscrossing the Mexican territory by the Comisión Sexta to listen to and share with grassroots organizations throughout Mexico to build this plan of action, Abajo y a la Izquierda. The second stage of La Otra Campaña will start in Baja California, 45 minutes south of Mexicali, in La Comunidad de El Mayor, which is an indigenous community of the Cucapá, who are facing some challenges because they are not being allowed to fish, which is their ancestral practice of sustenance by the federal government that has decided that that's a protected space. So La Otra Campaña is organizing a peace camp, an encampment there, to help revitalize and to sustain and to allow the community to reproduce their cultural traditions and the cultural life. So it is going to start at the end of February. It's going to go on up to mid-May. And if you want more information, you can log on to www.otra-losangeles.com. And there's all the information there if you would like to participate.
Ruben?
Just a real quick announcement. This is kind of going back to some of the issues that Jordan raised about the conference here today. In the fall, at the fall equinox on September 21st, the Chicano Studies Graduate Student Association at Cal State Northridge will be holding an encuentro called Communities en Movimiento, Cultivating the Politics of Listening and Sharing. And this is an encuentro where we're inviting not only academics, but also people from the community, grassroots organizers, youth, artists, other cultural producers, community college students, and we're inviting everyone who is working towards consciousness raising in order to create an alternative to the kind of academic conference format. And so we are calling it an encuentro, and we envision it as all kinds of formats of presentation, performance, and workshop. For more information on that, please visit www.csun.edu/CGSA.
And Juan, could you end with one last note?
Sure. I like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here, and I'm really honored and blessed to be around people here who I met for the first time. And for those of you who don't know, I've known Pablo for at least 13 years, man. We were both college roommates as undergrads at Berkeley, and you make me proud, bro.
Same here. Little tear. again, next Thursday, please visit us. And we're going to end the show. Thank you so much for listening.
No, that's fine.